fast forward to now. I want to give you some resources and the way that I do it, because I think that a lot of people are doing what I was doing. They would just download the Flow app, not really look at it, except for when they were on their period. Maybe you would track your period, maybe you wouldn't. Welcome back to this week's episode of Hotter Than Health. My name is Eliza Gelman. I'm so happy you're here. For those who are new here, welcome, welcome. I'm a holistic nutritionist, personal trainer, even though I don't take on new clients right now. And I work in the public speaking space, podcaster, all of those beautiful, amazing things. But today, I'm just happy that you're here, because if you clicked on this link, it's because you are either interested in talking about the conversation of ovulation and tracking your cycles naturally, maybe you're on birth control, or you saw the meat eating component of the episode and you know that this is a more plant dominant podcast. So you're thinking, what the heck is going on here? What is the change? What is going on? Why are we, where is this juxtaposition coming from? Now, I also, quick little hack, it's Tuesday at 3:45 Eastern Standard Time, Charlotte, North Carolina, hello. And let me just tell you, little life hack, sometimes you buy something that you think is going to help you be really productive, like you buy a filing cabinet, or you buy, I don't know, some type of cleaning gadget that makes everything look super clean, or packing cubes, or whatever the fuck ever, whatever it is, you buy something and you think, oh my gosh, this is going to change my life. And you end up using it once, or you're like, oh, that looks challenging to put together, I'm not going to do that. And it just goes by the wayside. A couple years ago, I went on Amazon because, of course, I heard like a Skinny Confidential episode about time blocking. And this is a tip for those who are in denial of how much screen time you have. Of course, we always think, yeah, oh my God, I want to be on social media less. I want to do all these things less, because all in all, we are more, holy hell, there is a massive hawk outside my window. Outside my window, I can see the underbelly of this hawk. I can see its feet. Talons. Wow, get it, dude. Okay, back to it. This is exactly why this tip is important. For those who think that they are good at multitasking, wow, he is really circling up there. For those who think they're good at multitasking, for those who are in denial of how much social media time takes up your day, and we're always like, oh my gosh, I don't have enough two hawks. I'm sorry, three. This is an omen. Maybe they're definitely hawks. You guys, there's three of them circling in the exact same area, same sequence. Oh man, there must be a deer down there or something. Anywho, wow, that's the last time I'll talk about the hawks. But, oh my God, this is absolutely so appropriate and obnoxious. I'm sorry, we will land this plane. But we think that we're so good at multitasking, but really that we say, oh, we don't have all this time. We don't have time to go to the gym. We don't have time to get our 10,000 steps in. We don't have time to meal prep. Whatever excuse we're making, that for something that probably takes 30 minutes to an hour a day, we're thinking, oh, I don't have the time for it, but we're on social media and not like, unless you're getting paid for it. If we're on social media for more than a couple hours a day, where can we allocate that time? Here's what I did. Not only have I been deleting my Instagram account from my, app from my homepage from, I think, like 10:30 in the morning to 3:45 during the day, or approximately three to four. I just manually do it whenever I'm done with my work. But I have noticed an insane, insane amount of productivity increase. What I also have done is, like I said, there are these products that you buy and you think it's going to change your life, but sometimes they just, you don't use them, but then you see them at another season in your life and you think, oh, I'm actually going to try using that, and it changes your life forever. A couple years ago, I went onto Amazon and bought two, what are they called? Hourglasses. I bought two hourglasses, but I said, okay, let's be realistic, Eliza. 30 minutes is probably a better block of time for you to get things done, because I have the nutrition programming with clients that I do, still do the one-on-one nutrition programming. So if you are interested, I am only taking on one client every other month at this point. If you are interested in holistic nutrition programming for weight loss or muscle building or overall longevity, lowering inflammation, let me know. Reach out. Go to the website, ElizaGWellness.com. I'm still doing that. I've got podcast editing and then my full-time job, essentially. What's been happening is I have just felt like I am trying to do all these things at once. My boss will call and I'll have to stop what I'm doing because that's my number one priority with work. And then I'll get off of that train of thought. That will take me another 30 minutes. What I've been doing is I have been, one, deleting Instagram off of my phone for those peak hours. And then two, I flip this damn hourglass and I get after it. I put my phone on the other side of the room. I say, okay, I'm going to do emails for 30 minutes. And you think, oh, it won't take you 30 minutes to do emails. But we rabbit trail. I get on this one email and I think, oh, that reminds me, I need to update the calendar for XYZ, blah, blah, blah. And by the end of that 30 minutes, I have to flip it over again because I'm like, oh God, I need another 30 minutes. We over and underestimate the amount of time that we need to do something. A lot of the times, the thing that we're really, really holding off on doing, we're so reluctant to go to the post office to return that t-shirt. We find so many excuses not to go cancel that $10 gym membership. I know, trust me, I did it for 3.5 years. But that thing, that little task that you are so good at putting off and making excuses for, that task likely takes you 10 to 15 minutes, let's be honest. There are some tasks, though, that you actually need to be doing that you think, oh, emails, no big deal, it'll take me like 30 minutes, actually end up taking you about an hour. And I think that by really focusing, you can get it done even sooner. And by eliminating those distractions, I'm not saying anything that is novel. I am not saying anything that we don't already know. But if we don't set ourselves up for that success, I'm telling you, my mind feels so clear, at least career-wise. I feel like I can exhale because I'm not trying to juggle a million things at once. And when I say a million things at once, I genuinely mean, okay, I get off of a nutrition call and then 60 seconds later, I have a call with my company. So after that company call, I now have to go back into the system, update the nutrition programming information, which it's not that I mind doing these things, but my mind now has to recalibrate into the nutrition programming thing. So if you are a parent with kids, or if you are a student in school, or if you just have a social life and a job, whatever, or you have a job and you just like to work out, those are still different parts of your brain that need to be firing. And I think something that we can really do for ourselves and for our mental state of mind, especially if we get into these colder, darker seasons of the year, is doing one thing at a time. And these little hourglasses have changed the game for me. I carry it around. I brought it into the little community area where I've been working from home. And I love it. I love it. They're glass. They're chic. When I'm not using them, I put them on my pine large piece where my TV is. And they look cool. They look cool. And I really like them. I'm sure you can find them on Amazon. I just typed in glass hourglass. And I have a blue looking one. I have a yellow looking one. And they're chic. They're cool. That's my tip. And now let's get into the episode. Oh my God, it's been 10 minutes. Liza, let's land this plane. Today we're talking about two topics, and in honor of keeping in line, organized with thoughts, and really staying linear, we're going to talk about two topics. First, I want to talk to you about a change in my life. We all know that when I started this podcast, it'll be 7 years in July, which it was just July, so it's a little over 6 years. I have been primarily plant dominant, definitely pescatarian. We'll do salmon and eggs, but mostly vegetarian at this point. For the past year or two, I have been researching more and listening to my body more about incorporating more animal proteins back in. Reason being, I felt like the way that I work out and the way that I train, the amount of physical activity that I do and energy that my body, my lifestyle requires, I felt like I wanted to increase my protein and I didn't want to continuously eat fish all the time. I love fish. I still eat it. I ate it today. I'll likely eat it more times this week, but I didn't want it to be to the point where if I'm aiming for 100 grams of protein, then I'm eating 100 grams of protein just from fish. And of course I use my Organifi protein powder and collagen and things like that, but I wanted more variety of in my sources. I wanted to ensure that it wasn't just one of those things where, okay, well, even though I don't know where this fish is sourced from, it's not wild, it might have tons of mercury, I don't know, super farm raised, but there is this grass-fed beef. It's just one of those things where if we're talking about longevity, then the quality is going to be more important. And that is not a wild statement. All of this to say, I'm going to get off my soapbox. I did 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. I don't even remember. I think 2.5 weeks ago, I finally pulled the trigger and I went to the store. We got two slices of something. We got grass-fed, grass-finished. At Whole Foods, we got a ribeye and we got some other strip. Not even Whole Foods. No, I'm sorry. We went to a local butcher shop in Charlotte and I didn't question it at all. I knew I had been considering this for over a year now, and morally it had been what had been holding me back was the fact that I don't love the thought of eating animals. And I know that fish have feelings and I know that there's a lot of major discrepancies in the way that a lot of monocropping for vegetables are involved. So I'm not blind to either side. And I understand that it's an ancestral thing. It's a primal thing that we eat meat and animals. But I really wanted to make sure that it wasn't coming from some, I didn't want to be eating like Tyson chicken nuggets. I didn't want to just go to Moe's. Nothing against Moe's, love Moe's. But I didn't want to go and get a bunch of processed meat. I think that it isn't aligned. It's more aligned with my values to just get higher quality stuff. Here's some things that I've noticed. Also, when I had the piece of steak, it was, here's the thing. I'm not a chicken girl. We all know that. I'm not a pork girl. I love pigs too much. And look, I adore cows and I really do have feelings about this. But when I had that steak, I nearly cried. It was fatty. I'm not the kind of person who's going to order it medium. I want it rare, mooing. I want it fatty on the sides. I want to be able to barely put my teeth through it. Like, I want it to be so raw. And I just want a little bit of garlic, pepper, and maybe just a dash of salt. And that's how I like it. I like it to bleed all over the plate. So it's like the weirdest plant dominant. I told this to my friend. I said, look, if I'm going to go into this, I'm going to eat a steak. I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm just like starting to incorporate chicken. No, I don't find that the nutritional value, I think that that's great for protein, but nutritionally, I don't find that there are as many benefits in chicken as there are in a nice piece of grass-fed, grass-finished beef. All of this to say, hadn't had a piece of steak that I could recall. My sister called me out for, I think maybe drunk several, like 4 years ago, I had a piece of meat or I had some type of broth. I don't know what I ate, but she was like, yeah, you definitely did. And I was like, shit, I don't even remember that. So here I am on my fucking high horse, but actually living a lie. I'm just such a fraud. But either way, dominantly, save for maybe one or two times in the past 6-7 years, yeah, I've been eating meat again. Not a lot. I've only had it 3 times in the past 3 weeks, but it feels good. And let me tell you, I was really nervous about my conference calls. I was nervous I was going to be constipated. I was nervous that I was going to get a hernia, a hemorrhoid. I was nervous that I was going to, I didn't know what I was going to feel. I thought I would feel like, oh my gosh, a brick in my belly. I slept like a damn baby that night and had one of the best conference calls I have had in 2023 the next morning. That's all I'm gonna say with that. It was high quality meat, and here's another observation that I've made. I feel and I have observed that since, and wow, it's only been 3 weeks. I get it. Like, I am not the, this is not the Mecca for meat information. Okay, we all know this, but this has just been my experience, and that's what I think y'all like to hear about. That's what it seems. Like, I'm not a doctor, but this has been what's happening with me. I have noticed over the past 3 weeks or whenever I started eating meat more, I have also been eating more vegetables, and all of the food that I have been eating has been more whole foods based. Meaning, if I were doing that piece of steak, we did asparagus, we didn't do any grains with it, but we did asparagus, we did a little scallop too, it was awesome. What else have we been doing? Like Japanese sweet potatoes, broccoli. Of course, these are foods that I've always eaten, but I am eating them more in abundance. And I feel like what I'm doing less of is I'm doing less random pasta nights. And pasta nights are great and fine, and I still do them. But I notice that I'm getting more quality and less ingredients. I can count the amount of ingredients. And you know I was a freak about that beforehand, so you can just imagine how it is now. I'm even doing less pastas, which might have decent ingredients, but not perfect. I'm doing less sauces. I am doing less snacky foods. I'm not keeping any chips to dip in a salsa or a hummus. I feel like the amount and quality of nutrients and dense nutrients that I'm getting from these foods has been, they've been filling in some other nutritional gaps. And when I say that I'm eating meat again, I'm not saying that I'm eating it every single day, but I do feel like slowly incorporating it back in has felt really good. I've been sleeping really well, a little better than I had been. And I had been sleeping well, but even better now. I notice that my energy is super stable. And I also feel like I haven't had crazy sugar cravings. And again, I'm saying this knowing my audience here. Y'all know that I don't have like wild eating habits. You know that I'm not constantly craving Twix and craving caffeine and all these things. Like, I have a pretty solid foundation for what I do crave. But even another level further, I am craving more pure foods. So I'm pumped about it. I'm honestly super hype. Could not be more hype. I love it. I'm also wanting to give a couple of resources. I know that a lot of people, I've had this conversation with a lot of people who have been considering going more into, I would still consider my diet, honestly, plant dominant, because I do eat so many plant derived foods. But as I incorporate more, I'm just becoming more flexible. But I have talked to a lot of people who have had this similar internal conversation and said, okay, well, how do I do it best? Maybe I'll just start incorporating chicken, but they don't necessarily know that maybe chicken isn't the highest quality of nutrients that you can be getting. And if our goal is longevity, wouldn't you want to consume something quality over quantity? And what I mean by that is, would you rather incorporate chicken every day to try and reach those nutritional gaps? Or would you prefer to have 1 to 2 servings of really high quality beef or steak in a week that will fill in a ton of those nutritional gaps? That's where I'm coming from. But I wanted to share a couple of farms that are local to the Charlotte area. If you're in Charleston, I don't have any recommendations for anywhere other than Charleston and Charlotte, because that's dominantly where listenership is. But if you're in Australia, or if you are in the UK or California, wherever you're listening, I wish I could be more helpful. If you have those resources, send them to me on Instagram and I'll post them on my story. Absolutely. But a couple of places, this is near Kings Mountain, which is about 30 minutes from Charlotte. It's called Profit Family Cattle Company, Profffitt Family Cattle Company. None of this is sponsored. These are just things that I've been looking up. And then there's the Profit Family Cattle Company. They are grass-fed, grass-finished. And then at the farmer's market, the Matthews Farmer's Market, they have a brand. Well, it's not necessarily a brand, but the Matthews Farmers Market has a ton of different delicious grass-fed, grass-finished meats if you are interested in that. But and it's called, sorry, I'm gonna butcher this, I apologize, Baucoms Best, Baucoms Best. Baucoms Best, it's 100% grass-fed, and that is at the farmer's market. But if you are in Charleston, Chucktown Acres has really, really great, really, really great sourced meat. And the guy, Alex, who runs that company, I actually considered having him on the podcast a couple of times, but when I move, it just hasn't been a fit. But he is not a one-man show, but he hand delivers all of the meat. He is the one dealing with the animals. He is the one feeding them, and everything he does is 100% natural, free-range, hormone-free, antibiotic-free, grass-fed, grass-finished, all that amazing stuff. So they have seafood, they have chicken, they've got different broths, they've got different beef. I don't know what else they have, but tons of great options. And I know that that was something that I used to always see at the farmer's market. Either way, that is something that I've been considering, and I think it was super appropriate timing to have the Yurkos on when we had our conversation with Courtney Yurko and David Yurko about a month ago. You can go back and listen to those episodes. They're the Yurkos Phenomenon, and we talked about Courtney's journey of, after 17 years, finally knowing what her body needed to prime itself for proper hormone production. If she wants to have kids in the future, then how can she bring her body back to a natural equilibrium, get her energy back, and really bring herself back to a whole nourished state? I am still having internal conversations with myself about the production and about mass farming and cattle production. I don't love the fact that animals are dying. Let's get that out there. I'm not someone who's like, yeah, I decided just like fuck the animals. It's not like that. I still feel a lot of Jewish and Catholic guilt. I've got it coming from me at all sides. But honestly, I feel really good. Quality over quantity. That is where my mind is right now. And I know that if that doesn't resonate with you, that's totally fine. You do not have to do what I do. But I just know that this is a conversation I wanted to have with people who see me on Instagram and see what the food that I post. And I might start posting about animal and then I'll get a ton of questions, and that's totally fine. But I wanted to have more context behind it. Energy, skin, hair, overall whole foods, quality, hormones. There are so many different words that come to mind as to why. And I think that it's also trending in that direction, that so many people are trending in a more weightlifting focused, higher protein, lower sugar diet. And if that's the way that the overall lifestyles of the United States is heading, then I'm down for it. Lower sugar, lower processed, but also lower processed meats. Processed meats are still considered a type 1 carcinogen, and that's something to think about. I'm not saying, oh, now we all eat meat again, and it doesn't matter where it's coming from. It means be more mindful, and hopefully high quality farmers and people who are taking the time to do it right, even though it's more expensive, hopefully they get the attention that they deserve, and hopefully their production can stay the way it is, and we will have easier access to that type of meat as opposed to super ultra processed meat that we find in the stores that are still considered carcinogenic. I know everyone's in different areas with different resources and things like that, but it's a goal that I think we should be leaning towards. Lower sugar, lower BS in our diet, higher quality, and overall more nourishment. I'm sweating. Why was I nervous to say that? I feel like it was one of those things where I was like, okay, guys, I don't know what in my life, I don't know why I was nervous to mention that. I actually am sweating. I'm going to have a sip of my Spindrift. The mango orange Spindrift flavor is elite. It is absolutely superior to all other flavors. I'm not a big citrus, lemon, lime kind of girl. I like them and I'll drink it if it's around, but I'm not going to buy it. If I'm buying it, I want the puree. I want the real shit. Give it to me. It's so good. Okay. Second topic I wanted to get into, and I am going to say this and then I will repeat myself, and then intermittently throughout this topic, I will continuously reiterate, because do not, this is not advice. Do what you want to do. I am going to share my experience on tracking naturally. This is not advice. This is what I do. This is not advice. I cannot stress that enough. And I don't need anyone coming to me be like, I live in a hotter than hell. And then I got pregnant. Blah, blah, blah. This is not that. I was treading lightly anyways. I simply wanted to share my experience, because the conversation of birth control, tracking naturally, it is a challenging conversation for people who are on birth control. I have been on both sides of this. I am currently on both sides of this, trying to figure out if it's a better option for me to go on it for maybe a year or so. That's for personal reasons. But overall, I want to share my experience and my thoughts on tracking naturally. I've talked about it in so many different episodes. I had a deep conversation with Kenzie Burke about it a couple of months, maybe a month or two ago. And it's come up so often with my group of friends, with different podcasters, with different on social media. It's all over the place. And I will say, other than a period for 5 to 6 months, 2 or so years ago, no, almost 3 years ago, when I dabbled with, okay, let's go through the story. One, this is not advice. Let's get into it. As we talk more about high quality protein, quality over quantity, it is only appropriate that I mention my absolute favorite protein powder. I have been using this protein powder. I have integrated this seamlessly into almost everyone that I know's lives. Every time someone comes over, I make them coffee. I say, hey, do you want a little protein powder? Even if they say no, I put it in there. I do whatever I can to make sure that people know about this amazing product. It's the Organifi protein powder. It has a digestive enzyme. It is plant-based. It provides 20 grams of plant protein, and especially for those who are wanting to just go with quality, whether it's meat, whether it's plant, having the quality, having it be glyphosate residue free is the top of the mark. It is the upper echelon of proteins. I don't ever see other protein powders going as far to see if they are glyphosate residue free, which essentially means that most crops are sprayed with pesticides, include like Roundup, but Organifi does an amazing job of making sure that it doesn't have any type of damaging amounts, and no other brands are spending their time or money or energy into these kinds of tracking and procedures. I love it. I love the flavor. It mixes so well. The vanilla is delicious. The chocolate has this coconutty, earthy, delicious flavor. And I'm absolutely obsessed with it. It doesn't have that sweet, fake type of sugary taste either. You can check out all of my favorite Organifi products at Organifi.com/HTH. Again, that is Organifi.com/HTH for 20% off. I had been on birth control, the pill, since I was about 14 years old. I'm sorry, 15 years old. And it was easier. That's the contraceptive we knew about. Our parents weren't telling their kids, oh yeah, pull out. No. People were like, hey, kids are dumb, but they're having sex. Get on the pill. I get it. Absolutely get it. And from 14 up until I believe I was 22. I was on the pill. No breaks. I mean, if I took a break, it was because I forgot to get things refilled. I mean, I wasn't super sexually active or anything like that, but there were so many thoughts about the way it affected your boobs and weight gain and your skin and your hair, and people had so many different reactions to it, and it was always a conversation, but never a conversation of, could this be damaging? It was more a conversation of, oh, which one do you have? What are you getting out of it? It wasn't like you were noticing the bad things about it. You were only noticing the good things about it. Like, oh, my boobs feel bigger. My skin is better. Whatever it is. Now, at the age of 22, when I lived in Arizona, I had just moved to Arizona and I thought, let's do a Skyla. It's much easier. IUDs were becoming more and more popular. And this was probably in 2015 or 2016. I got a Skyla or a Kylena. I cannot remember. But I got that. And after about a year, I started experiencing incredible cystic acne. All around my jawline, super hormonal acne, and that's when it really started. And that didn't go away until, honestly, about 4 years later. For 2 years, I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going on. Insane cystic acne. I was having lots of mood swings. I was attracted to some people that I was like, ah, this is kind of weird. I'm not really normally attracted to these kinds of guys, but okay. That was a weird situation. Completely side note. But when I moved to Charleston in 2017, it was when the skin was at an all-time low. The hormonal acne got to a point where I couldn't look people in the eye. I was popping zits, but not even zits. Zits sound like a little thing. There were these hot, painful, cavernous, they were like cystic lumps under my skin. And if you've dealt with cystic acne, you know what this is like. But I was popping and trying to excavate on my face every single day. And you know what you have to do after that. I was going to a job where it was honestly all about a lot about appearance. And I was in people's faces, had a mic to my face all day, dirty, grimy, sweaty. And I would have to put makeup on and it would be like touch up after touch up after touch up. And I also was getting crazy UTIs. I think at one point I got 5 UTIs in a year, which meant antibiotics, which meant my gut was totally fucked. All of these things had to come to an end. The impetus of me coming off of birth control was the skin, because it was that, plus I was getting, not to be graphic, but I know a lot of women have struggled with this, so I'm fine talking about it, but like yeast infections, BV, but not even from sex. Like these UTIs were coming not even from sex. It was also stress. And my body was not able to fight off infections. I don't know what the deal was. It was, but compounding because of the antibiotics. That's when I started doing more research on the IUD. I started doing more research on what it was doing to my body. And I said, I have to get this taken out. I made the appointment. And when I tell you, I could feel a difference that same day. That same exact day when I got my birth control, the IUD out, which, by the way, when you get the IUD in, that is honestly painful as fuck. But when you get it taken out, she goes, okay, exhale. And it was out. It was pop. It was no big deal. Easy money. Cool. That was my experience. And I could see my skin was actively exhaling as well. And my acne started clearing up within a week. And again, I'm not saying if you get your birth control taken out, this will fix all your acne problems, but this has been my experience. That was 5 or 6 years ago, maybe. And I have had one UTI since. And going from 5 in a year to 1 in 5 years, girl, it's life changing. Because my UTIs, and this is a little side note, I don't mean to be too graphic here, and so if you are queasy, maybe skip forward 20, 30 seconds, but the UTIs that I used to get were so bad that I would know that I had a UTI, and then I could feel it, you know, after you pee, it's like that burn, horrible pain, and then it would be within the hour that I was peeing blood. And by the end of that day, it was so much blood in the toilet. I'm not exaggerating. I would have like a full toilet bowl of blood. It was horrible. It was bad. Like my UTIs, when I got them, they got so far up there so fast. Eventually, it got to a point where I started supplementing with colloidal silver. I used that topically. Again, this is not advice. This is not advice. This is just what I did. And it was essentially like an antimicrobial, antibacterial, helped fight infections. And I still, I mean, I used it today. I use it as a just overall wellness booster every single day, or at least a couple times a week. Once I got the IUD out, I thought there is no way I'm ever getting back, but I wasn't necessarily tracking my cycle. I think I had downloaded Flow. I had downloaded the Flow app, but I was really only using it to track my periods. I wasn't looking at ovulation. I wasn't looking at anything spectacular except for when I could predict my period. Fast forward to, honestly, let's just call it now and we'll skip the dirty stuff. I did try, when I was more sexually active, I did try getting a copper IUD because I was like, I gotta have some protection, but I do not want the hormones. And my personal experience, I know people have had different experiences with this, but my personal experience with the copper IUD, it sucked. I was having 9-day heavy periods for 6 months. And I know they say that that's normal, but it wasn't working for my lifestyle. The whole point was to feel like secure about having sex. And there was not one part of me that wanted to be touched when I was having these super heavy periods for 9 days and the cramps. I would be on the floor in a ball. It was so painful. I got it out after 6 months. I said, absolutely not. I will figure this out. Fast forward to now. I want to give you some resources and the way that I do it, because I think that a lot of people are doing what I was doing. They would just download the Flow app, not really look at it, except for when they were on their period. Maybe you would track your period, maybe you wouldn't. This has been working for me, but it's a lot of work. Like it's a lot more work when you say it out loud, but when it boils down to it, when you're not on birth control, everything is a risk. just know that. Like the pull-out method has some validity to it. And so there are some people out there who are like, yeah, you can really only get pregnant 1 or 2 times a month, but then you don't think that sperm can live inside your body. Allegedly, not medical advice, not a doctor, but apparently sperm can live inside your body for 5 days. And what about those 5 days before you ovulate, that if you got some sperm up in there, even if it was from pre-cum, even if you're doing the full pull-out method and there was some type of like pre-juice lube that came out of them and that's up inside of you, it catches hold of something, swings like Tarzan, and then once your egg drops, it's like, oh, by the way, we've got a winner. That's not what I wanted. That's not what I want. I do want kids someday. I am not ready right this very moment. However, this is what I have been doing. And is it perfect? No, I have no idea. Y'all are going to be like, oh, shut up. Just tell us what it is. I'm telling you, don't just do what I do. Do what works for you. I'm telling you what works for me. The apps that I do use are Flow. And I wish this app was named differently because it's basically for people who are like really trying to get pregnant. But it's also on the other side of the coin, really great if you're trying to not get pregnant because it's pretty accurate on like numbers and helps you stay consistent. I use an app called Pre-Mom. I wish it was named differently. Let's just call it that. And what I did was I took it a step further. I would track my period on Flow, and I also track my period on Pre-Mom. What Pre-Mom also does is it has you, I bought a basal body temperature thermometer. And this is not like a normal thermometer that you stick under your tongue. It looks the exact same. It looks the exact same as one that you just pop under your tongue, give it 30 seconds, it takes your temperature. This one takes about 60 seconds and it takes it to another decimal point. It gives you a higher, more accurate reading of your body temperature, and you have to do it at the exact same time every single day. I think there's a 30-minute window that that you can fluctuate between. So I either take it between like 6:15 and 6:30 every single morning. Yes, I set an alarm. Yes, I sleep with the thermometer by my bed. Just get over it. I do it. But I'll tell you a little hack so that I can still sleep with my phone outside of the room. The basal body temperature is a great predictor of when you ovulate and when you have just ovulated. I will say, with this app, the first month that you use it, like the first 28 to 30 days of your cycle, whatever your cycle is, you are really just giving it information and plugging in information so that you can better anticipate the next month. Is it perfect? No. But does it give you a good outline? Yes. So every single morning, I take my temperature, and then if I'm going back to sleep, I can, if I click on the temperature again, let's say I take my temperature at 6:15, but I'm like, oh, I want to go to bed and I don't want to look at my phone, because it wants you to do it before you even get out of bed. Have your thermometer right next to your bed. I lay it under my tongue and I'm basically still asleep. And then I just honestly drop it on the floor and then pick it back up. That might be fucking gross, but it works for me. It's sustainable. Like, do what works. I know this is getting long, but I promise you, this is the process. You're taking your, I'm just going to call it BBT, basal body temperature, every single morning. And let's say you take it at 6:15 in the morning, but you want to go back to bed until 6:45. You wake back up at 6:45. You can then pick up the thermometer that already has a reading of your temperature. Go to your phone, open the Premom app, not social media, not all these things. It's not time to scroll on your phone, but you can go to that app or whenever you're ready throughout the day, but you can go to the app and type in and just go to log BBT, and it goes to the day of the week. It logs your body temperature. And so far I've been doing it for 2 months and I can start to see the trends. And I looked back like a couple of days ago, I ovulated, and now the temperature, apparently like it stays high for a little while, or maybe it stays high the whole time until you get back into your period. I'm not positive on that. I'm still learning these things. But you log your basal body temperature, and then once it gives you days of predicting your ovulation, I really want to know when my body is fertile so that I don't make any fucking mistakes. And look, if you are trying to get pregnant, this is also on the other side of the coin, a good way to tell what your peak days are. Because I even ordered ovulation testing strips. Again, not advice, not advice, not even going to tell you what kind I got, not advice. But the great thing is that I'll pee on one of these sticks on the days where it says, hey, you're going to ovulate in 3 days. So I'll pee on a stick, I'll do the whole thing, and then I'll take a picture of it, because you can take a picture of it on this app. You take a picture of it and it immediately says like low or high or peak. And it will tell you like your luteinizing hormone levels are low, your luteinizing hormone levels are high, or peak means like, apparently that means it's like the best day to bang if you're trying to get pregnant, or if you're not trying to get pregnant, it's a great day for just foreplay. Because when you ovulate, you're also, your sex drive is higher. You are naturally, you have this proclivity towards more sexual activities. You feel more confident. So the world is really, really setting women up here. They want us to feel like hot and sexy during these days, but also like, by the way, you will get pregnant, or you may. And essentially you just avoid sex that day. And if you're still letting them like go inside you, you do you, but know that days before ovulation and ovulation are really peak times. So maybe just make sure you know what those days are. Otherwise the pullout method, I'm still like freaked out by pre-cum. So just take that with what you want. Maybe too much. Again, sorry, Dad, but it's too much. It's too much. I don't even want to consider it. I don't want to deal with it. You're just pulling out. You're just pulling out. Get over it. And if you have a problem with that, like truly, bring it to someone else. I'm sorry. We don't need to. We're good here. That's what I've been doing. The Premom app, the basal body temperature. I had to order it on Amazon. I did get the extra testing strips so that I could see what days I was actually. I didn't want to rely on the calculations of just my basal body temperature on this app, because again, I wanted it to be the most accurate possible, but it's so easy. I literally just scan it on my phone on this app, and I'm not like a big app user at all. I don't do any of these apps consistently, but when you're trying to not get pregnant, like, you will do anything. And here's something to consider. If you are at that point when you heard this episode and you're like, that is so much, I'm over it, I already don't want to deal with it, consider how, if you're not on birth control but you are sexually active, consider how many moments of the month, hours of the month, you spend considering, am I safe? Is that all good? Was that risky? Am I pregnant? Consider how many times those thoughts take up space in your head. This does help alleviate and at least give you some sort of backing to understand and predict what's going on in your body. It's another level of understanding. This is not, I wouldn't even consider this contraception. I would consider this self-study and helping you to better accurately assess when you are the most fertile. This is what I've been doing. I'm not even going to say, like, this is what works for me, you should try it. Look, do what you want to do. But there are enough conversations going around about how challenging it is to be off of birth control while still not going in blind. And when it comes to our bodies, I think that we owe it to ourselves to be able to come up with answers on our own. Oh, why do my boobs hurt today, but I'm not about to be on my period? Maybe you're ovulating. Oh, why am I spotting? Maybe you're ovulating. Do I have cramps? Maybe you're ovulating. The answer is not always ovulating, guys. And also, some people don't ovulate. And if you are considering getting off of birth control because you want to give your body a break before you start trying to have kids, tracking these types of things will show you, hey, you are ovulating naturally and normally. And if something's off, wouldn't you want to know sooner rather than later so you can get around it? This is another way of, like, we don't always need to be guessing. And I think that this is another level of being your own advocate, so you don't just have to go to a doctor who's going to say, hey, get on birth control or get on Ovastol, something for your hormones so that you could, like, we don't need all the synthetic stuff if you don't take charge naturally. And when I tell you this takes up about 3 minutes of my day, that's max. And did it take up maybe 10 minutes in the beginning? Sure. But I would even say it takes 90 seconds now. And that includes the time that I have the thermometer on my tongue. This is not advice. This is not advice. Holy hell. I only am sharing this because I know that there are people out there who really just use the Flow app and it's not as accurate. Like, the Flow app and the Premom app, after doing all of this information, doing all of the input, the ovulation predictor days were different and it was only accurate on Premom. So I'm telling you, there are different ways to stay informed, keep your body in check, understand what's going on. Talk to your partner about this. Talk to your friends about this. Message me. Seriously, I love talking about this. If you send me a message on Instagram at Hotter Than Health Podcast or at my own personal Instagram, ElizaG_wellness, if you message me, I'm going to send you a voice message back and we can talk about this. But I hope this has been insightful. And honestly, if you are in this journey, I see you, I hear you, I feel you. Some people are just lucky enough to never have any scares and the pull-out method works. They don't really overthink it. I like to be my own guru. I like to be my own guinea pig here. And I don't want people to not at least have resources if they want to try this. Like, if you are going to get off birth control, don't go in completely blind. Because look, there have been issues in the past. I have gone through my own things. And I just want people to know that, like, even if you do shit perfectly, things can still go wrong. Or they can go very, very right in every single direction. This is not me saying, this is really just saying, know your resources so that if something is wrong, you know it earlier. If something is really, really right and you are just ovulating your ass off, then you can be careful if you want to be careful right now. And if your partner's not on board, remember, like, it, I'm sorry, but if you can't have an open conversation, and this is not something I learned easily. If you can't have an open conversation about this type of thing in a constructive way with your partner, then just know that that is not great. And I'm only saying that. Also, do not take any of my advice for relationships, even a little bit. Oh, would you look at that? Anywho, but I hope that this was helpful. I hope that you have taken some type of, oh my gosh, I hope that this has been helpful. We will do more episodes on this. I want to get a professional in here to talk about ovulation, and I really look forward to talking about this more. Eat meat, track your stuff, ask me questions, whatever you need. I'm happy to be a resource. If you haven't already, make sure you head over to Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Make sure you're following. Go to the little purple Apple Podcast app on your phone. Leave us 5 stars. Please write a review. It is the best. And it's been great to have a solo episode. Oh my gosh, it's been 50 minutes. Time to get out of here. We will talk to you next Thursday. Yeah. The weather outside is weathering. The weather is dropping. The temperature is dropping, maybe just 5 degrees, but that is enough for me. And when I tell you, I could not be more excited about the new change in seasons. It's crunchy leaf weather. I'm also considering what I'm going to do with my hair. And I know that this is a health podcast. Why are we talking about hair? That is because I've been doing such a great job of maintaining the health of my hair. I want it to look good as well. I go to Modern Salon and Spa in South Park, and honestly, my girl Eleanor is the shit. She is the best thing ever. She works out all the time. She's got tattoos, and all we do is talk, talk, talk. And I think this time I'm going to go in, and they do such a great job with lightening my hair, but I'm almost thinking, if we're getting into the colder months, do I want to go into a more honey, brunette, natural type of color? Because I have a nice, natural, light brown hair, but I'm thinking, do I want to go golden? Do I want to go honey? I'm really thinking that I might get a little crazy this time and color it in a different way. But if you are interested in changing up your game, going in for a trim, a treatment, any type of new hair moment, I go every quarter. But if you want to try something new, I highly recommend Modern Salon and Spa. You can use the code HTH to get 15% off of your service. You can try their new products. I am obsessed. I love it. I love the energy. It's clean, it's chic, and it doesn't smell just like a random hair salon. It smells like a spa. I love it. Love it so much. But if you are interested, make sure you use the code HTH at Modern Salon and Spa. Go ahead, book, and get yourself a hairdo.